He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our text is the lesson just read, especially these words from verse 14. You only need to be still. The last several days have been filled with anticipation and lots of exaltation. I don't know the details or the contrast between where candidates and vicars and deaconesses wanted to go and where the church called them to go in Christ's name. I do know, however, that the church has made progress in how they carry out this churchly task. In that far-off period when I received a call, the service was completed, and then vicars departed to one large room, candidates to another, with family and friends scurrying behind them. A big room, not unlike L7, was packed, and the calls were there in a long box with name and location. And I still remember how one of the first calls to a classmate was to Hilo, Hawaii. And there was clapping and shouting and high fives and extraordinary rejoicing, and the candidate went up beaming. The very next candidate, a classmate, was called to Columbus, Ohio. And there was a reverent silence. And he went up to receive that call with somewhat of a somber walk. We have made wonderful progress. For how fitting to have those calls to the church before Christ in his altar. And yet a student has already shared that all of that anticipation and eagerness to go from the seminary and to serve Christ has now been joined to some other sentiments. After visiting with the DP and being warned about some of the challenges, there's a certain unsettledness that has come into his heart. What seems so simple now looks complex, and indeed the seminary even looks like a safe and secure place compared to where he is being called. Well, this Torah story of the Pentateuch and Exodus provides us with a wonderful reason to reflect upon our present state, and particularly if you're called. Listen to the cries of the people. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us up to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us up out of Egypt? None of you, I know, are called to such a severe environment as the Sinai Peninsula. You will have water and food in abundance." The contrast for God's people must have been striking. We still stand in awe of the incredible achievements of Egyptian civilization. And the Israelites had lived there for centuries. They saw the architecture, they saw the art. They, even as slaves, lived in very high standing compared to other cultures that surrounded Egypt. To leave that seemed to be leaving security and safety. And that's precisely what all of us can identify with. You and I, by our human nature, want to be safe and secure, to have the ground below us firm and unmovable. But, and this is a significant but, there's a danger in that longing. Indeed, when we, by our own lights, seem least secure, and when the future is unforeseen, precisely at that moment, we can be more clearly secure than ever. For quite simply, our definitive safety, security, and salvation are God's gift. We are at peace when we simply trust, and that happens when we know our own inadequacies. It is striking when you go through the prophetic literature that both Hosea and Jeremiah hold the wilderness wanderings up as a time of great purity. This was the honeymoon of Israel's piety. Hosea and Jeremiah say, "Where is that early love for God that you so lavishly displayed?" Outwardly, Israel must have felt continually on the brink of death and destruction. God only fed them one day at a time. But it was God, and His good and gracious character secured them in ways that the armies of all the nations could not protect or secure them. And more than faithful words, God gave them His faithful presence. Indeed, it's striking that many more chapters in Exodus are given to the tabernacle than to the Exodus event. The detail is striking, and the book culminates with His glory coming to dwell there for the sake of His people. And quickly in Leviticus, the sacrificial system that pointed to the great Paschal Lamb, Jesus, is surrounding that presence of God. God was there in word and in presence, and the people were simply to be still. The same could be said for us. God is here, and we can be still. We can be at profound peace, whatever lies ahead. And it's important for us who remain, faculty and students and staff, to know that our security is no more certain than those that are going to unknown lands and unknown parishes. If we at times are unsettled, we are called to be still and rest in God's presence. We see the face of Christ. And that face is sending some of us. His faithful words go with them, and here we experience His baptismal and Eucharistic presence. We are secure forever, and the resurrection of our Lord ratifies that publicly. What a message the church has, and how inadequate for our old flesh to say that the church is in trouble, and to think that we have been lifted up to be its saviors. Not so. We are simply to be still. God will be with us. God will be with His church, and will bless it with His presence as He has promised. How noble it is for our community to now send candidates and vicars and deaconesses forward to herald this security, to point people away from those false props and into the arms of an embracing Savior. Israel is a marvelous lesson here. What surrendered their peace? It was when they moved their trust from God in the desert to the culture of Baal and his kind of program of self-fulfillment and security. And that's precisely what we avoid this day. Our piddly plans to be successful, to be fulfilled, are all fragile and falling. We accept with gratitude the call to be still, and let God lead us to His people, and lead us to all the world. with that good news that there is one place, and only one place, where our human longing and need for security and safety can be wrapped up and enjoyed forever, in the loving arms of Christ and in that blessed and holy Trinity. So, good colleagues and students, join me in being still and watching God work his wonders for us as he did for Israel. And we need not worry if he feeds us only one day at a time, for we know who it is who extends his hand. Be still and know, Jesus says, that I am God. That's our calling. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.